This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we're joined by Brian Kelly from Kelly Automotive all around the North Shore. And Brian, welcome. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Brian, the Kelly name and autos kind of, boom, they go together. And it all started back in 1965 with the Roland D. Kelly Datsun. Does that sound right, in Beverly?
Well, my father sold Buicks for 23 years prior to that. And he had a used Buick dealership in 1965, October. We got Datsun in 1968.
Gotcha. All right. And that's still around, although Datsun has changed. And tell me about the growth of the company since that time.
Well, in 1983, they changed the name from Datsun to Nissan. And, you know, if you can remember the gas shortage that we had back in the 70s, 73, 74, it really put the small Japanese cars on the map. And, you know, from there we just grew and grew and grew. And then when I took over in the 80s, we advertised a little bit more and we were a little more aggressive. And the dealership just kept, we kept selling more cars and more cars. And then we bought a defunct Chevrolet dealership down the street and moved from Rantoul Street to Cabot Street in 1986.
Gotcha. All right. And now, I mean, it would take a while to tell us all the different locations of Kelly Automotive.
Well, we have 12 different locations, working on a couple of more as we speak. We've got 14 franchises, and we look for growth opportunities, and they come along, especially during a recession. You know, when things aren't going that well, people will sell things. When things are going really well, people don't want to sell anything. So we just kind of sit and wait and look for different opportunities to help diversify the automobiles we're able to offer.
Right. So, in a way, some autos do well during a downtime economically and others do better during uptimes. Does that sound fair or not?
No, that's fair. Rule of thumb is you sell the lower price cars when things get a little more difficult. Gas is a non-issue now. You know, when it was heading for $4 a gallon, people were trading big cars for small cars. Now gas is a non-issue. It looks like it's going to remain stable for the foreseeable future. So people are now buying larger cars again.
And the quality of cars, this is what strikes me over the years, the quality of cars has just changed across the board for automobiles.
It's vastly improved. There's really not a bad car on the market today. There's some that hold their value better, but they're all pretty dependable. They have good warranties. You know, competition is a great thing because each manufacturer wants to build the best car, and it keeps them working on new technologies all the time. And, of course, sport utility has just taken the market over.
What's the percentage of sports utilities in the marketplace?
Well, it's about 50-50. 50-50 between normal passenger cars and sport utility vehicles, and there's more sport utility vehicles coming out all the time.
Yeah. What's the business philosophy at Kelly Automotive?
Well, my father had a saying a long time ago, it was honest sales and excellent service. And that's what we do. We have honest sales and we have excellent service. And my father always told me, take care of your employees. And if your employees are happy, pay them a little bit more maybe than you might think they're worth, and you'll have happy customers.
Yeah. What's the state right now of the automotive industry, say, across the board, big picture, say, looking back a decade or so to now?
Well, leasing is predominant in the industry today. About 60% of the cars we sell are leasing, which is non-conventional financing. And now they're talking about, you know, the electric vehicles, autonomous driving. I think we're 5, 7, 10 years away from electric cars that make sense for every day. There's some now that will go up to a couple hundred miles, but what people don't understand about electric cars, if it's really hot and it's really cold, the batteries get used up a little faster than people might think. And if you put 3 or 4 people in the car that weigh 150, 200 pounds, so if they advertise 200 miles, it might only go 100 or 125 or 150.
I'm not in the auto industry, but I tend to agree with you on that. I also think that self-driving cars are still a ways away as well.
It's a long way away, in my opinion, a long way away. Now, maybe in San Francisco or New York City, it might come sooner. But, you know, Americans, we like our freedom. We like to come and go as we please. I don't want to have to worry about on a Sunday if I'm going to go for a ride. I have to find a station to plug my car in to be able to get home. And I like driving. And, you know, once that we take the spirit of the driving out of the automobiles, you can all drive a bread box. You know, it doesn't really matter what the car looks like. You don't have that sex appeal that goes with a lot of automobiles. So I think there's going to be a lot of pushback on the autonomous driving. And I think it's at least 10 years away. Could even be 15, maybe 20. I hope it never comes, to be honest. I like driving. I can't wait to get up in the morning, sit in my Maserati, and drive to work. It's fun.
Now, you mentioned Maserati, and that's one of the autos that you sell. I mean, correct. Of course, like, we're familiar with Nissans and Hondas and Volkswagens and those kinds of things. But tell me about that product as such. What's the difference in that product?
Well, Maserati, and we have Alfa Romeo now too to go with it. They're built in Italy. We all know the Italians, shoes and purses, and they're really fabulous with leather. But they have a racing history that goes back many, many years. And a Maserati, there's nothing wrong with the mainstream luxury cars, but if you want to be different, if you want to have a car that's a little louder and a little sexier than the mainstream luxury cars that everybody's used to, Maserati's the way to go.
You know, a lot of folks know you, Brian, from the commercials, the billboards, the commercials, the radio commercials, television commercials, and so on. Tell me a little bit about that, and are those your real grandkids that we're hearing in those ads?
They are. Originally, in the spirit of being full disclosure, I hired an actor, a little kid. He was 11 years old out of Chicago. But now my grandkids, they range from, 4 months to 14 years old. And I've got a 12-year-old grandson that does most of the radio and does all the talking on the TV commercials. And he's as good as a professional, and I pay him a lot less.
That makes sense.
Well, those was college fund.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Yeah, it's just you gotta keep a little thumb on these guys a little bit here. The new buildings. Tell me about the new buildings that you have planned or new dealerships that you'll be opening soon.
Well, what we're working on three at the same time. We're gonna have the first Jeep only dealership up on Route 1 in Linfield. They will only sell the Jeep brand, which is a growing brand. They're going to have pickup trucks and a lot more vehicles down the road. We'll have the first one in New England, one of the first ones in the country. And we're building a new Infiniti dealership on Cross Street, at the junction of Andover Street and Cross Street, right across from North Shore Mall, yeah. Up where there used to be a Lincoln Mercury dealership there years ago. Infiniti, we're going to start that construction. And we're in the process of finding, we have a couple of locations, we're building a new Ford dealership.
A new Ford dealership. Yeah, exactly. But that's not that, the location's not set on that one yet.
Not yet. I'm going through the permitting and the zoning process for the new Ford dealership.
Gotcha. So there's a wide range of cars: Fords, Hondas. You mentioned Jeeps. We mentioned Nissans and whatever. So, and as a businessman, that means you're dealing with, I would say, different vendors, but you're dealing with different companies all the time.
Different factories.
Okay.
Different factories. They all have a different philosophy. And right now, it's all about market share. They're all fighting for market share. And the industry is declining. In the peak, we sold 17,600,000 cars in 2015. And I think it was 17.2 in 16. And this year is turning out to be about 17 million cars. So the industry is actually slowing down and declining a little bit. I'll brag and happy to say our market share is going up. So we're taking business from some other dealerships around us to continue our growth path. Yeah. And that's what the manufacturers are doing. They don't want to give up market share, but they're going to have to, because right now they're going to build about 1,500,000 cars that really aren't needed in the marketplace. So they have to incentivize them heavily to, motivate people to buy them when they don't necessarily need a new car.
Yeah. How you mentioned earlier that the 60% of the vehicles that you sell are leased. Now, what does that mean for resale? What does that mean for you as a dealer? Because you have new cars, and you'll always have previously owned vehicles on your lot. So what does that mean, and how has that changed in the business?
Well, the byproduct of leasing is most leases, the term runs 36, 39 to 42 to 48 months. So those cars come back into the marketplace, and they're called certified pre-owned cars. So the factory has a program. When you turn in your lease vehicle, I have an option to buy the car. If I don't want to buy the car, it goes to an auction, and then dealers from all over the country bid on it. And they make some nice cars. People, 36, 48 months, cars are in really good shape with reasonable mileage on them. And that's the other thing with leasing. When you lease a car, you have to pay attention to your mileage, because it might be a 39-month lease, and you have 12,000 miles a year or 10 or 15. So you get a lot of nice used vehicles coming in off of lease.
So, but if they are coming in back to you, you've leased a Honda Accord, it comes back to you, but don't, you put that up for auction, or you keep that car yourself?
No, I keep them.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes you might have a few extra. Sometimes you might have a few that aren't in great shape.
Yeah.
The factory takes them back, they recondition them, and they show up at the auctions. But the best form of a used car for us is one of our regular customers that we've serviced.
Yeah.
You know, we love to get those cars back, and leasing kind of perpetuates that every 36 months, every 39 months. It's great.
Well, Brian, anything else you want to share with us about the business, about your family business, about the dealerships, or about the auto industry? Kind of an open-ended thing here.
Well, the business is changing rapidly, and it's changed a lot in the last 15, 20 years. The biggest change is we have public companies. Well, the biggest change is the Internet. Internet, people can shop at home, you can build a car, you can compare prices. I think it's great for the consumer to be able to do that. That was a huge change, started back early 90s.
Yeah.
And then the public companies now I won't say they're taking over, but they're selling about 10% of the automobiles in the country. And a public company like Circuit City, remember Circuit City that went bankrupt? Well, they actually own CarMax. So CarMax is a byproduct of Circuit City. And these public companies will own 100, 200, sometimes 300 dealerships. And they run them like a big corporation. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But if you buy a car, and I won't mention names, but if you buy a car at one of the public companies, you're not going to see the owner. You're not going to see any family members. It's a big corporation, and that's how they run it. And if somebody has an issue or problem with a car, you have to rely on a service representative. You know, in our company, and we'll sell close to 20,000 cars this year, somebody has a problem, you call me, we'll take care of it. And my son runs the Jeep Chrysler dealership. My other son is a manager over to Maserati and Alfa Romeo, and my son-in-law, Brian Heaney, is my director of operations. And if somebody has a question, they get to one of us, it gets handled. And I think that's a big advantage doing business with a family.
Yeah.
You know, we all live in the community. We all shop locally. We know a lot of people. A lot of people know us. We try to do business with people that do business with us. And, you know, for us, it works.
Yeah. I'm gonna share one thing. I understand that one of the points that you want to emphasize to employees, because I heard this somewhere, is to make sure the dealerships look good. And they do look good. You know what I'm saying? You go by, you know, I go by the Kelly Honda on the Linway all the time. But it's just typical. It's a well-kept building. It looks great. You know, all of those things. And that's a stickler for you, isn't it?
Well, I'm a little OCD obsessive compulsive. I'll even say I'm a little OCD obsessive compulsive neurotic wacko. Sometimes my wife refers to me as that. But I like nice, clean buildings. You know,
yeah.
You go to a restaurant, you want to see a clean restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, you want to go in the kitchen of a restaurant, you want to see it clean. So our service departments are clean, well-lit. We have, you know, nice toolboxes. We have a dress code for all our employees.
Yeah.
So when you walk into a dealership, you're going to see somebody in a shirt and tie, and the ladies are dressed properly. I think people appreciate that. I get comments all the time. I went to so-and-so, so-and-so. We went to your dealership, and everybody's, you know, nice and fresh looking, and they're wearing a nice white shirt, and people do take notice and appreciate it.
Well, Brian, always good. Well, it's good talking with you. Nice meeting you, and best of luck with the dealerships here on the North Shore.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Brian Kelly with us from Kelly Automotive, and I'm Bill Newell on MSO News Sports.